이번 역은 서울역, 지하 서울역입니다. 내리실 문은 오른쪽입니다. 마모나크 서울의 길です.
This stop is
굿데이 Buffet! Sorry to keep you waiting. Your table is ready for All You Can Eat, a weekly comeback of K-pop commentary. My name is Chuck, and I am one of the co-leaders of this show. Each week, we take a brand new release or topic and let you know what we think about it. But before we get to that, I've got to introduce you to the other leaders of the group. Our resident Magne, he'll happily give you a PowerPoint presentation of why Red Velvet is the current generation's NSYNC. Alan Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. If you remember the last slide, I actually argued they're better than NSYNC ever was. So here we are.
Sorry. That goes to show how I was not paying attention to your PowerPoint presentation.
It's okay. You're busy trying to figure out which Pokemon I wear, so.
Yeah, exactly. But in general, how have things been for you?
Not too bad. You know, just living life, staying inside, and being a year older, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We recorded this after, and this episode's coming out afterwards. So we want to give a big happy birthday to Alan Mark. So send him all your love. Find his Twitter account and just bombard him with all your DMs.
Yeah, and, sure.
And rounding out the big three is the one that hails from NYC. Always willing to do right by us. He's both Alan Mark and my alt bias. Steven, how are you doing?
Oh my god. What an intro. I'm doing great. I'm humbled after hearing that. You know, as of recording time, I ate dinner already, so I'm pretty full, but I am ready for a second course, if you will. But yeah, oh, actually wanted to, I have two kind of updates for you guys. One's more important than the other. Is there maybe one you want to hear for first, more important or less important?
Let's go with the less important first.
Okay, less important is that, you know, I told you guys I had interviews last week, and I think I'm going to get an offer from them like soon, so I'll probably have a job coming up.
Yes.
How is that less important?
And
yeah,
so
yeah. I'm kind of curious to know what more the more important news is now.
Is I have officially watched over 600 Luna TVs in order. So
what?
As of like I think I started like a month ago, so I started from the beginning.
Minutes.
Oh my god.
But
wait, 600 minutes divided by 6.
Oh, that's 10.
10 hours.
10 hours.
10 hours.
Yeah.
How long did it take for you to watch all that?
I think I started like a month ago, and
Okay. I thought you did it in like one sitting.
Oh no.
Okay, or at least like a weekend.
You could. But, which one's your favorite? We could talk about this later.
Yeah, we can.
We'll have a side special. We'll have a side course of the Luna TV verse. That's incredible.
Those are my life updates.
Well, if you can find Steven on social media, also send him all your congratulations. That's amazing, dude. Super excited. This is now our final episode. We no longer have time, since the three of us are now fully employed. So we will only be doing monthly episodes. Just kidding. It'll still be weekly until we get tired of doing it every week. Okay, so it's time to rub the gunk out and open those eyes wide. They hit us once in 2017 and again just a week ago. That's right. It's the comeback of Twice with their second album, Eyes Wide Open. So, I think we should, before we talk about this album, we should talk about the relevance of Twice to us. I think for me, I'll go last, but I want to know, because they're relatively new. They came out in, were they trainees? Oh, no, sorry. It was from a competition, right? Mm-hmm. Their start, yeah, like a, they started off as a group of seven, or that was the main number. And then I guess there were two other standouts, trainees that just had to be part of Twice, so then they made it nine after all. And then their official debut was it February of 2016? Was that when
that was October.
That's right, because it's the 5th year anniversary right now.
Oh,
wait,
yeah.
Is it 5 years or
2015.
4 years?
It was 2015.
Yeah.
Okay, 2015. But when did TT come out? Was that 2016?
16, October 24th, 2016.
Wow. Okay. Oh, your birthday. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I forgot. Well, I'm not too familiar with their span from 2015 to 2016, but I will say, I had been in a very long hiatus, which you guys know, and I think I alluded to in the trailer, but I think it was you, Alan Mark, who showed me Twice's music video for TT, I think.
Probably.
I don't remember what it was. Again, that was like 4 years ago. But that was kind of my return to K-pop. I don't remember the last time I had seen K-pop prior to 2016. Because when did Wonder Girls disband?
Oh, they disbanded in 2017,
I think.
Pretty recently.
Yeah, they had a couple of comebacks at the end.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah. But did they take a long hiatus between?
Kind of.
Like 2012 to 2015 or something like that, if I remember. Anyway, yeah. During that time is when I was completely out of it. I think, Alan Mark, that's when you were starting to get into, like, was it 17? Did 17 come out?
No, they debuted in 2015, but I got into them later.
Yeah.
2015 was when I started getting into Red Velvet, and that's when the Wonder Girls came back also with Reboot. So that's around the time that I got back into it.
So, yeah, I saw TT's music video, and I don't know. I guess I had never seen a K-pop music video like that. It did seem pretty unique, but then I started realizing like a lot of like this started becoming more of the staple of like, really bouncy, bright colors, music that is super catchy. I mean, I guess that's K-pop in general, but I don't know, it just started bringing me back, and I started listening to more groups, and I would also say that group is the reason why we were thinking about starting this K-pop podcast in the first place. So that for me is the cultural relevance of Twice as a group. What about you guys? Do you guys have any fandom for them? Anybody?
I think I got into them around the time when Signal came out. Which, like, that kind of wasn't my favorite song. But then when I went back through their first releases, I remember just thinking that like Ooh Ah is one of the best debut, like recent debuts at the time that I heard it. And then there was a time when I heard like Twice became sort of the nation's girl group, and they kind of took on this mantle and or this title. And yeah, like I could kind of see why. They're just this, I don't know, unproblematic, like very like wholesome and cheerful group. So they were like one of the groups that I had learned everyone's name after. Like for many, there was a while when I didn't do that for any other groups, but then Twice came along and I felt like I had to know who these people were.
I still don't know everyone's names. I had to go on a fan site and see how to pronounce everyone's names just so I wouldn't butcher them, but I'm probably still going to butcher them when I try to pronounce any of them.
Yeah, this episode's going to be fun then.
Especially since I'm in control of the game. Alamark, what, aside from TT, what's another song from Twice that you think is a standout overall?
So, yeah, I think it sort of ties to why I would choose, I'm going to say Fancy out of all of them. Because it's tied to sort of my history with Twice a little bit, because I never really got super into them. I think TT was the first thing that I saw from them because my cousin showed me that music video. And I was like, what is this? This is wild. But I also do sort of recall when like Ooh Ah also came out, because it was the zombie music video, but I also didn't realize it was Twice at the time. Yeah, so I was like, okay, they're like poppy, and I kept up with them, just saw their comebacks, because I've always sort of had an affinity for JYPE groups, because Miss A was like the first group I really got into, after like Nobody by Wonder Girls and stuff. But so I kept up, but yeah, like Knock Knock was like fine to me, Signal was okay to me. Everything from then on was like not really my cup of tea. I'm not really into like the more bubbly, sort of like super happy type music. But then with though I did really like Likey. I did like Likey, and it's just catchy. But I think when Fancy came out, that's when I sort of saw that the shift was happening, when they were sort of their image was getting more of that one wasn't as elegant. Feel Special was more elegant, but just a bit more mature, more like age appropriate for them. So when that transition happened, that's when I saw that sort of that's when it clicked to me that like, oh no, Twice is like hella good. Their B-sides, I started listening more of their B-sides, and that's usually what draws me into a group too. So yeah, I forgot which B-side on Fancy I really liked, but all of Feel Special, all of those B-sides I loved, and that's when I really got hooked into Twice. So it was definitely a lot more recent for me with them.
I really like Feel Special too. I don't remember when it came out in 2019, but yeah, I started November. Oh, wow. Okay. So I think that the stuff that you guys brought up is great, because what I was trying to allude to was the fact that with this album, their sophomore, I guess even though they've released a ton of EPs and mini albums, their official second album is gonna be like a landmark album for them, because it's overall, I felt like this was their evolution, a statement album where they're trying to say, okay, we did the whole fresh, bubbly, you know, bright sounding music. Now we're going to get a little bit more serious, talk about themes and topics that we wouldn't normally talk about. And Yeah, and just have generally sounds that are more smooth, slower, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to think of other adjectives. I will generally say that I really, really enjoy this album. It's 13 mm-hmm. tracks. There's a lot going on, but also not really. It's kind of like the same sound throughout the whole album. This idea of like maturity just keeps ringing. Obviously, I can't understand any of the lyrics, but with the lead single, I Can't Stop Me, that I think that was a smart... I mean, I'll keep saying it for every album, but they're smart to have that be kind of the statement lead single for this album, because it kind of sets the tone for what the rest of the album is going to sound like, with ideas of we are battling two sides, we can't stop growing as not only a group but as humans. So with I Can't Stop Me, that's just a self statement from the band or from the group saying we're gonna evolve whether or not you like me, whether or not you want me to. So let's start off with I Can't Stop Me.
Yeah, I really like this song. It was one of my favorites on the album and a great way to start off. I will say I think I watched the video as my first time hearing the song. And I want to say that with Likey, that's where I really latched onto Twice, because they were taking non-car forms of transportation around Vancouver, and I loved so Nayeon was biking, Jonghyun was skateboarding, then like they had the rap section in the tram, but then in the video for this they like cemented their status as like the K-pop transit queens, in that they were they took a train, and they were dancing in the train station, and like a continuation of that theme from Likey was huge for me. But the song itself is great. So saying that the transit queens of K-pop, I think this song is great like driving at night music. It has a really cool sound, like kind of 80s-ish, but with a really good chorus, and it's just a cool song.
You just mentioned like it's 80s-ish, and that's really what stood out to me. It really feels like an 80s song, but in a way that's like, oh yeah, it fits with today. I feel like that's pretty recently a lot of artists have kind of been doing that, like Dua Lipa, Carly Rae Jepsen. So that's why like, oh, this really fits with like today's pop landscape. And it's just like so catchy in that 80s kind of way. It's like not catchy in the typical Twice way where they have like a line that's like, oh, this is what you sing over and over again. It's not like Likey Likey or... yeah, it's not like that. But it's like, it's more like the melody is just works so well. It's like, it's more infectious than it is catchy. Mm-hmm. And that's why, yeah, it's really good. I also really like this song.
I forget what song it was, but do you guys think we're heading to a sort of 80s new wave type shift in K-pop? Because I keep hearing a lot of synths in these tracks. I mean, I don't know if, again, I'm coming from someone who's just recently starting to listen to K-pop again, but it just seems like a lot of influence from 80s. I don't know if it has to do with the people behind the song, which we're gonna keep, as long as we keep talking about JYP entertainment artists, we're always going to bring up Melanie Fontana and is it Michelle Schultz, sorry, it's a husband and wife duo. They've done a bunch of songs for like BTS. Was it Blackpink where we were talking about them? Yeah. I don't know if you guys remember, but Steven was saying there's a lot of controversy because apparently she's been taking a lot of credit for a lot of the songs. Is that the same person? Or am I thinking about somebody else?
I think Melanie Fontana. Yeah, that's the same person.
So I think I'll have to listen to more of her tracks, but that just might be her style. And because she is being tapped for a lot of JYP artists, that just might be the trend we're going. But in pop in general, I think we were already heading towards the 80s, like you were saying with Carly Rae Jepsen and The Weeknd. So
yeah,
I think they're just tapping into what works, and right now the 80s works. So I wrote down some notes for this song because I kind of want to touch more into the, not only the lyrics, but the music video.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of thematic elements of, you know, light versus dark, good versus evil.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys read the subtitles of the song, there's a lot of discussion about them being at the crossroads, seeing the red line in front of them and thinking about whether or not they want to cross to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
As a group, do you like seeing, do you miss kind of the likey and the knock knocks and the TT type songs, or do you want this to be kind of the new direction that Twice goes and stays in?
I like that this is the direction they're going. I feel like it is a natural continuation from More and More, like, because they did some, I think some tracks on More and More could fit on this album too, but I think I would also welcome like another upbeat track like they've done before. I kind of think that they're really good at it. I would almost say they're like the masters of it, or they've mastered it at least. But I really liked the direction that this album went in.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just nostalgia that's making me, because I like, if you didn't tell me this is Twice, I would have been like, whoa, these are incredible songs. But knowing it's Twice, I think as someone who stands Twice, I think I am, I don't know, I went back and listened to TT and Knock Knock, and I was just like, I still love these songs. Like, they're so great. Like, they're so good. Like, they're exactly what I want to listen to. Or I guess I was in the mood to listen to them, but yeah, and not to say that I hate this album, but it's just, it's, I like you were saying, Steven, I hope they kind of tap into both sides, kind of similar to what Blackpink does, just because they're, I didn't know they were good at this side, so press on, keep doing music like this, but also, I would love if you went back and did some old style songs, maybe not some of them, but again, Knock Knock. I don't know why. Knock Knock for me is just, it's, I don't know. Talking about choruses for you, Steven, like, once I heard Knock Knock again, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. This was stuck in my head. Now it's back and stuck in my head. And like, randomly, I would do the whole, like, shake my fist, knock knocks.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Alamark, what do you like the direction Twice is heading?
Yeah, I touched upon it in my with my relationship with Twice's music. I really love this direction. As Steven touched upon, it feels like a natural transition into like that style. I mean, the older they get, it makes more sense to do some of this type of music rather than more like teen crush kind of stuff like Signal was and stuff like that. I think they, Likey was a bit of that as well. But I mean, yeah, it doesn't mean I don't like those songs as well. I mentioned I liked Likey. Heart Shaker, actually, I really like Heart Shaker still. Heart Shaker, that one's really good. So I think they're still capable of doing that type of music too. I haven't really listened to it, but their Japanese single that came out this year, Swing, kind of had elements of that upbeat, bubbly type of music too. But it was still like mature, but it had those elements still. So I think they still got it. But I mean, if you run the gamut since Fancy, which is still bubbly, but was the transition song, like from Fancy to Breakthrough to Feel Special to Fake and True. And then, you know, you could roll in more and more and this song into it as well. It's so consistently good that I don't want to, I don't want to break from that momentum.
That's a great point. Last week we were talking about, or I brought up the fact that I was not so impressed with Luna's choreo. What a 180 to come back to Twice, because watching all their routines for I Can't Stop Me, like every like live, you know, live performance or like dance rehearsal or whatever, you know, I was like, okay, this is what I'm used to, or this is what I was missing, because this is like intricate movements and very, very intentional. What's the word? Gyrations. There you go.
the chorus choreo stands out. Oh my god,
it's great. Even the very beginning, it's like dance team competition level synchronicity, if that's even a word. And it's just, yeah, I like I've told you guys, I appreciate anytime good choreo can be mixed in to great music as well. Okay. Do you guys have anything else to say about I Can't Stop Me?
Well, when you're still talking about the music video, some visuals that I really liked. I think during the second verse, there was that whole like hexagon looking patterns when they're flipping in and out of it. I thought that was really cool. Yeah. That's something you really see in like a K-pop music video. I think that was just really creative. Nayeon.
I was going to say Steven.
I'm just going to say Nayeon. That's it.
Steven, since you're the king of transit also, how did you feel when the motorcycle crashed through the window landed right on top of the table? Do you think that was a wise form of transportation?
I am not a I think it's fine. It's unfortunate that it kind of just shows a motorcycle is maybe a symbol for like destruction, if somehow, but that's how I saw it. But it does also indicate, like, I don't know, you're forceful.
What did you guys get from the end of the music video where they're running, the train is trying to move away from the cloud that's enveloping everything, but then they ran out of tracks and then they kind of stopped and then the cloud kind of consumed them? I didn't write anything down for that, but I just wrote that imagery down, or that image down, as something maybe we can explore real quickly. I don't know.
Well, I think this music video is supposed to be a sequel to More and More. If you tie in the end of More and More to the teaser with the apple, then it's sort of a continuation. So I think it's sort of an extension of like the Garden of Eden. And I think this is like them after maybe biting the apple and doing like that original sin stuff. And then like they had to flee Eden, probably. That's what I got out of it. But also, I don't know. There wasn't much in the music video about it.
Yeah, I didn't know. I
was curious to know. Well, we have 12 other songs to tap into. This is just the very first song of the album, so we have many, many more songs to go through. But until then, until we reach our B-side, we will be right back. Stay tuned. We'll catch you on the other side. Welcome back, everyone, to the B side of this episode. As you've hopefully checked out with our first two episodes, we like to play a game after coming back from break. So Steven had the first episode, Alamark had the second episode, and I have the third episode. It's not going to be as great as theirs, but it's still going to be a game, and it's still going to be quick because I know we have a lot of other songs to talk about. So just to keep up with our new tradition, we're going to play a matching game.
Oh.
Ooh,
okay. Like a matching game, like we have to remember things, or
not like that. It's do you guys have a piece of paper or your phone out or something you can write with?
I will have my phone out.
Okay, I'm gonna test your knowledge. I'm gonna test your trivia. It's a very quick game. You guys are both gonna play this at the exact same time. I'll give you guys a couple of seconds or maybe a minute to come up with the correct matching. What we're gonna do is, in honor of the fourth year anniversary of TT coming out, and because it's Halloween. Nope, it's no longer Halloween.
not when this comes out.
Halloween.
Well, when this episode comes out, Halloween will be a thing of the past, and the U.S. elections will have happened. So we forgot to tell people to go vote.
This is the first thing that people are going to hear after.
Yeah, so we don't know what the results were, and we probably still won't when this episode airs. But in honor of the Halloween time, because we didn't have a Halloween theme last week, I'm going to go back to TT, which is a very Halloween music video, if you guys remember. It was two kids, they entered a haunted house, and then they saw the spirits or whatever ghosts that were twice. So, in honor of that video and costumes, I'm going to see if you guys remember each of the costumes every member had.
Okay.
So, I'm not going to go name them one by one, but I'll give you guys every costume, and I'll give you everyone's name, and you just go, you draw a line, and you match them. All right? So,
I hope I don't mix up the costumes from Cheer Up.
Okay, So your first. Okay, I'll just start naming costumes. You tell me when I need to stop and go back. But here we go.
Okay.
Ice princess, fairy, devil, mermaid, pirate, rabbit, black dressed ghost. Okay. Okay. How many was that? Did I give you?
No, that's only seven. Just two more.
Two more. Okay. Superhero. Did I give you puppet?
Nope.
No.
And that's nine, right?
Okay. I like how you're not using any of the corporate names.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Is that nine?
Right. Yeah, that's nine.
Okay. Do you need everyone's names? Because I wrote them out with pronunciations in parentheses, so I would just get them a little bit right. So
I don't need them. I
don't think I need them, but unless you want to flex your pronunciation.
I am going
to
flex.
It's
going to be a measly flex. It's not even going to be like a full-on like arm flex. It's just going to be like a clench, more rather. Okay. We have Nayeon, Taeyeon. I heard there's a T sound instead of a D. Taeyeon, Momo. I wrote Mo with a W for the first Mo. Momo, Mina, Sana, Chongyeon, Chihyo, Chewy, and Chaeyoung. Those are all 9 members, and I'm so sorry if I mispronounce any of them. So, okay. So I'll start with Nahyeon. Who is Nahyeon?
Nahyeon? Yes. Wait, did we say at the same time? How are we going to do this?
Oh, that's right.
Hey, how do you know I'm not going to change?
That's true. That's true. Okay. Okay, why don't you guys just name them out loud, and we'll just do the honor roll. You guys just keep track of your own scores.
Okay. Okay.
Wait, do you have a tiebreaker just in case?
Oh, shoot. No, but I'll come up with one as I'm going.
Okay.
All right. Let's just check each other's answers.
Okay. Wait, how?
Yeah, okay. I didn't think this through. I just quickly thought of that game. Okay. Why don't I... I'll just go one by one, and then you tell me who, and then I'll mark if you got it right or wrong. But you can... If you want to change... If you want to change while we're talking, I would not fault you for that. That's just smart gameplay right there.
Okay. Oh, we're good sports here.
Okay, so at the same time, just announce who you think is the CERN costume. So I'll go first. Or I'll name the costume, okay, and then you just tell me the person at the same time. On three. Who was the pirate? 1, 2, 3.
Mina.
Oh, very good. Okay, that's one for each of you. Who was the devil? 1, 2, 3.
Nayeon.
Oh man, I'm gonna need a tiebreaker. Okay, who was the superhero? 1, 2, 3.
Sana.
Oh man. 3 for 3 for each of you. Okay. Who was the fairy? 1, 2, 3.
Momo.
Oh my god. You guys know everyone's faces better than I do. Who was... This might be an easy one. Who was the black dressed ghost? 1, 2, 3.
Chewy.
Oh man. Okay, who was the ice princess? 1, 2, 3.
Geo.
I feel like Alamark's just waiting to hear the sound of Alamark. Okay, this should be an easy one. These last two should be easy. So I'll start with the rabbit. I think we all know who the rabbit is, right?
Yeah.
I won't even ask you guys. And we all know who the puppet is. Okay, I'll do that. In 1, 2, 3.
Jung-un.
Oh, man. This is going to be a fun tiebreaker that I'm coming up with in my head right now. All right. Last but not least, who was the mermaid? 1, 2, 3.
Chaeyoung.
Okay, well, congratulations, guys. You guys remembered every single person's costume from the TT music video. But it wouldn't be a tiebreaker if we didn't also... Sorry, it wouldn't be a game if we didn't have a tiebreaker. So, your tiebreaker... Hold on. Coming up with it right now. Your tiebreaker. First person to answer. What were the costumes of the two kids who entered the house?
Alamark.
Oh, no.
I get to answer.
Just blurt it out.
The boy was a skeleton and the girl was a witch.
I think that's right.
Oh, man. I could see them like looking up.
Oh, man. Incredible. Lightning round right there. Congratulations, Alamar. You know the TT music video very, very well. You now have 2 points in season one.
Oh, damn.
Steven will have to wait. Oh, no, you. I'm the one who has 0 points, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because last week was Luna. So.
Okay, so,
okay, so Alamar has two.
Steven has one. Great. I'm going to need... How's season two looking? Hopefully that works. Okay, so thank you guys for playing that game. Let's get back to Eyes Wide Open. So, because there are 13 tracks, with the last two episodes, if they were short enough that we could kind of go through each of one and give our thoughts, but we don't have time for 13 tracks. So, we're going to talk about other standout tracks, tracks that surprised us, and maybe some tracks that we can just forget and move on from and don't worry about at all. So let's start out with standouts. We had talked prior to recording this episode. I told them I had 2 tracks. Steven had 3 tracks and Alamar had 4 tracks. But after re-listening to the album, I think I have 3 also. So just to be sure, I'll still go first. That way we can eliminate.
And this is not including the title track.
That's correct. Not including the title track. That's correct.
Oh, okay.
So Steven's then, like, oh, I have 13.
I have.
Well, yeah. Okay.
I had 3, but now I have 13.
Okay.
It's okay. We'll probably talk about one of the tracks together. Yeah. So it won't be too bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know me. I like the B-sides. I tend to like the B-sides because they front-load it with a bunch of the ear candy. And then for the real reels, the B-side tends to have more of the tracks that I like. At least I've noticed that with the album and Midnight. So my standout track is track number 12, Say Something. You guys probably know that I would have naturally chose that song based on what we've talked about in the past episodes. I like New Jack Swing. I like Bruno Mars. This song has a lot of synth, what are some of the instruments?
It closes with a saxophone.
Yes, I had that in my notes for sure.
Thank you.
And also, my second note about this song says, OMG, that bass, what, WTF, wow.
So this is a standout for me because it, I don't know, I'm just, again, I'm imagining, like, this would be a, like, they would wear, like, nice flowy suits and, like, have old-timey microphones that they just be dancing to. And what's that New Edition song, Alamar, that you can do the choreo to?
If It Isn't Love.
If It Isn't, yeah. So that's, I imagine they would have that kind of background, like the Beyonce Love on Top background, where they can just, that could be the music video for this song, and I would love it so much. And this is a standout for me. I chose this one because I could be listening. I've already put it not even in my K-pop playlist. I put it in my, like, I have a playlist called Windows Down, which just tends to be all the songs I always want to drive to and feel great in. And this joins, I think this is the very first K-pop song that I put in that album, or sorry, in that playlist. So,
you're really anti-Microsoft, aren't you?
Wait, what? What was that?
You're really anti-Microsoft, aren't you?
yes.
Windows down. So never. Oh god. Okay.
That's true. Sorry.
Too much of an inside joke for us.
No, it's definitely not. No. If you didn't, for our audience, my the name of my playlist is Windows Down. You're like, wait, what? Anyway, as I like to drive the car and eat an apple while listening to my Windows Down playlist.
Okay,
I've been doing it since 95. Just Windows and me. Okay, anyway. Okay. That's another
Go ahead, proceed.
Driving by a grassy hill.
Yeah.
With blue skies in the background. Just me and my paperclip. Okay. Sorry. And we digress. So, there's not much else I need to say about this track except it bops and it's great and it's groovy, it's funky, it's it's just, it makes me want to get on the dance floor and just pop and lock and whatever, you know, those kind of feelings. Was this a standout or did this have any relevance for you guys in your lists? Like, did you guys put it anywhere else? Like, was it a standout? Was it surprising? Or was it a forgettable song?
I put it as my favorite song on the album.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah, this is my favorite number one out of all the songs. It's up there. I said I had four, but then I specifically said this one is number one. And I even kind of had it as a surprising one because it's essentially a city pop song also. So it's like very like Japanese city pop. So that's why I love that Mina starts off in that song. I think that's a cool touch. I don't know if it was intentional, but that was cool. And I also really like it partly maybe because it was co-written by a dude named E1, Jung Ho Hyun, and he also co-wrote Wonder Girls' I Feel You. So it's like super retro, super cool. But yeah, this is this one I definitely had up there.
Okay. I put this as a surprising track for me. I definitely wrote down that it was city pop influenced. I think as a whole, it wasn't, I don't know. I don't think I've enjoyed it as much as you guys.
Ooh.
In general, I love all of the sounds of city pop, but aside from like Plastic Love, there aren't a lot of songs that I've tried to listen to it, but as a genre, I haven't found a lot of songs that I really like. I like, I don't know if you guys have heard of Yukika. She does, her last album was like almost all like city pop, and it's interesting because she is Japanese, but she sings city pop in Korean, which is kind of cool. But I like her songs. I really like that she's doing them, but I don't know. I don't really love them. And there were a lot of moments in this song that I liked, but as a whole, I didn't love either. Like, I really liked this when they were doing the say somethings when they're in that part of the song. And it's just a little thing, but they sing the same notes in the second time they say sing something, but then like the chord changes. And I just love the way that sounds. And it's so cool. But yeah, I thought there was a cool instrument that almost sounded like a theremin to me. It was like kind of a slidey thing.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of moments in the song I liked, but I think just as a whole, it didn't work as much as well for me.
Yeah.
This might be the first song we haven't unanimously agreed, like where we agreed.
Yeah. I think the city pop part for me, like I haven't really listened to Yukika, though I'm aware, I know who she is, but I think for me, I was mostly comparing it to other city pop I've heard in K-pop, and I think that's why it stood out to me compared to that, because like other ones, the one that I could recall is like Yubin's Lady, that one didn't really stick out to me as much, but then like this was sort of like, oh, it's like a, it's, I don't know, it caught my ear really, really well, but yeah. I could see your points though.
Yeah, but I mean I like it. It's just not wasn't one of my standouts for the album.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, you stay true to your opinion. Don't feel the need to. Yeah, you can. So this is the last episode.
We will not go over.
He's not part of the group.
We will not go over any more songs in this album.
His opinion is no longer valid. Well, since that wasn't a standout, that was more of a surprising. What was a standout for you, Steven?
For me, honestly, the first three tracks were my three favorites in the whole album. I really liked Hell and Heaven. Take me to your paradise, jungle, moonlit autumn, the 별이 쏟아지는 밤, kiss me in the moonlight. I think it just sounds so cool. Like the percussion on that is pretty cool. Like you don't hear those kinds of drums as often. They were more like hand drums, I think. And it's just very like percussive in general. It sounded like a plucked string instrument or a muted guitar. That I thought that sounded really cool. And then there were great like dynamics in the vocals. And overall, the whole feeling of the song, it was just really, I loved it.
I remember going through that song and just imagining like 90s Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera. Just like, I don't know what song that was where she was dancing with a snake. Was that
Slave for You?
Slave for You. I like to, when I listen to these songs, I tend to imagine what the music video is going to look like to kind of help me imagine the feel that they're trying to go for. And that's the kind of, like, I agree with you. I didn't have this as a standout. Again, this entire album was amazing. So I didn't want to just say, oh, all 12 tracks were standouts. But this definitely would have been something I put if I had unlimited standouts to mark down. And I agree with you. It's I don't think I couldn't even. So usually when I listen to songs, I can kind of guess the inspiration or kind of the influence. I had no idea where to tie this. This sounded like brand new. Like you were saying, these are drums that don't normally get or mixed with for tracks, and so it's just, yeah, I agree that this is a great standout.
I don't have too many notes on this, though. I do really like this song. My one probably biggest note is I love the fake drop into the first chorus where it just drops all the percussion, because usually I expect the opposite, especially in K-pop, but yeah. I always love an opposite drop where everything drops out, actually, and just vocals and maybe like one other musical element. I thought that was cool. But then keeping the percussion and the second chorus really helped, like the pace, it had really helped with the pacing of the song. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I really like this song, but it's not one of the four that I chose.
Oh, well, wow. Well, we have very different views for this album, which is great. It provides a lot of commentary and we just don't say the same things over and over again. So
yeah.
Did we only knock out one of your four? Do you have three other we haven't talked about?
Yeah, three other ones.
Wow.
Well, one of them, Steven alluded to it. So you said that the first three tracks are your favorites. Number three, Up No More, was my other ones.
That was my second. Yeah. That's my second one.
So we are aligned on this.
Okay, back. We're back, guys. We can be back to the podcast.
So we could unanimously say that this is the best song on the album. Since
agree.
All three of the
there
four.
Go.
Vis-a-vis. Yeah. Well, Almar, do you want to give a shout out to who wrote this song first?
Oh, I know the lyrics were written by Jihyo. I know that. And shout out to Jihyo. I think she was like my first bias with this group, but it kind of grew into Nayeon over time. But I mean, this is like a disco as hell song and it's cool. It's like super cool. But even though like it's disco and like fun, I was reading the lyrics and it's kind of like heavy in a way. I didn't write down any of the lyrics, so I can't read them back out to you. But it was, but yeah, I really like this song. The melody is super catchy. Honestly, this song could be another title track if it was on a different album.
Yeah.
But yeah, the second part of the chorus is very good. I noted that. And the bass in the verses is just a chef's kiss.
Yeah.
It's so good. And the guitar in the chorus is perfect to help set that disco type of mood. But yeah, it's like if I Can't Stop Me wasn't the title track, I could easily see this one being a title track.
Yeah. I love the way that the song just started with, like, I don't know if it was like synthy strings or like keyboard strings, but I love that sound. And then kind of like what you were saying with the drums in Hell in Heaven, I liked in the rap section, like we had the requisite slower drums, but then they dropped out also in the, like, before it goes back. So I like when they do that, and it's not like a cookie cutter type of song. And yeah, I love this one too, and shout out Jihyo too.
Yeah.
So this album at the time recording only came out 2 days ago. So like I'm like going back and re-listening to the songs and I'm like, oh yes, that song. Oh, I loved, oh god, yeah, that's right, that's right. And for me, again, I'm so sorry if I keep alluding or I keep using this as a crutch. But everything, I mean, music, half of music, I feel like, is feeling the need to, like, move your body and everything like that. And this is, like, alluding to the disco. This is perfect for, like, TikTok roller skaters. Just that shot of them going down Venice Beach or something like that. Like, this would be a perfect song to accompany that with. So, you TikTokers. By me saying you TikTokers, that has severely aged me. But anyway, you e-girls and e-boys, make sure to use this. Oh, nope, still not working? Okay.
Well, no, not at all.
I'll stop aging myself. Okay. Well, it was no surprise that I'm old and I'm not hip with it, but there are some tracks in this album that did surprise me. And one of them, I don't think the beginning was as surprising as the direction it took halfway through the song. And I'm curious if you guys have any notes for track number 10, Handle It. Because that, to me, surprising, when I attached the word surprising, it wasn't overall like this track came out of nowhere. It's the moment, it's just the song that like took me in a new direction that didn't know I was going to be taking and that I didn't know twice could take me in. And it's halfway through, it's when they kind of get into the triple quadruple harmonies, and like it's kind of like it when the tempo, there's like a down, the tempo goes down, and then they do like a whole alternative R&B style where it's just like new jazz, and it's just like wavy as hell. And that to me was surprising because I was not expecting any of that in this album at all. And when it hit me, I was like, ooh, I was like cooking. You guys heard me cooking earlier. I had to like stop and like, oh, okay, I'm writing this down right now as this surprised me. And it makes sense. There's a lot of people on this track musically, but one of them is MNEK.
Yeah.
I was going to mention that. Yeah.
And it made perfect sense once I read that he had credits to the song. And shout out to that guy, because he's low-key like one of my favorite recent artists, just smooth soul singer. And so anyway, it made sense. And if you guys and whoever's listening go back and listen to this song, just really pay attention to the scale, or just the way they just kind of flow through each note, up and down, harmonies are intertwined all throughout. It's just, it's very pleasant to the ears. And so I was not ready to experience that, which caught me off guard. I am curious to know if you guys have any other notes for Handle It.
Handle It was one of my other four songs that I chose as well. So I really like Handle It. I think I actually had it second. Yeah, I really like Handle It a lot. I think from an album standpoint, like in the album itself, I think it was placed perfectly because everything before that was so like high energy that like I really needed. I felt like I needed a break at that time. So Handle It really came in at the right time. When you talk about a full album wise, the chorus is just very satisfying. You've touched upon that with like the harmonies and everything. Yeah, the second pre-chorus I wrote with the keys, I like that a lot. I don't remember what it sounds like right now, but I remember being really into that. Shout out to Chaeyoung for writing these lyrics.
Yeah. I wrote Nord keyboard. Because it's just Nord synth. Like that is just the, every time I hear that sound, I just think of somebody with that red keyboard and just like going up and down. Just like
I think that was what my note was. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, so good.
So Steven, sorry, but you are no longer the third member. We have conclusively figured out that Alan Mark and I have the same style. And you need to get out.
I did not put this in any category. I thought it was just a good song. I like it, and it's not, but it wouldn't surprise me either. The notes I had were I liked the there's like a second guitar that they use, and I liked the tone of that one. It was more like a jazz guitar tone, which I really liked. That came on a little like I think around the same time as the keys do.
Yeah.
But then I also wrote that I liked the first half of the song more than the second
half.
Yeah, in like complete opposite. Wow. I don't. Maybe I'll have to go back, but I specifically wrote down that note.
Oh man, how did you not like melt? Like once halfway.
I have to take what you said and then go back to the song because if I wrote this down, it must mean there was something I just preferred about. The way
it must be because you're a sucker for just like three instrument songs where like one of them is a guitar.
I get overwhelmed like, very easily.
Yeah, but if it just you know someone singing three instrument guitar, maybe light percussion. But yeah, right around like 50 seconds in, that's when like the meat of the song hits. Yeah,
when that came in, but then I don't know. There's something towards the end that it didn't make it better for me.
Well. You know what? I guess you can't handle it.
Oh, damn.
This episode's all about wordplay today. All right. And to no surprise, Steven has the opposite opinion of Alan Mark and I, but maybe we do share one of your surprising opinions. Was there any surprising tracks for you, Steve?
Yeah, for me, the song before Handle It, Shot Clock, that was surprising to me.
Oh, no.
Just...
okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I guess I didn't love it either, but I appreciate that was on the album with the way they have, like, the marching band sound. I appreciated that it was there. But then, like, again, I didn't think it was that great of a song. I guess I was also thinking of the Cheer Up video and, like, they could just pull out those outfits again.
Those jackets.
And then I had a note where they go, it reminds me of I Got a Boy when they do Ayo, Ayo. But then, I don't know. But, this was just another surprise for me, like, mostly with the marching band and, like, the snare sound.
I feel so bad because I put that song in my forgettable. I'll touch upon that later on, but when we go and talk about what what I'll probably not listen to, it's probably Shot Clock, but we'll talk about that later. But Alan Mark,
I don't really have any notes on this song, honestly.
No, I was gonna say, like, what are your surprises?
So I have one surprise on here, though I technically labeled Say Something also as a surprise, but I labeled Believer as a surprise on my list. I see Steven's face. I think this one mostly because looking at the title, I wasn't really expecting much out of it. I think I judged a song by its song title, like a book by its cover. But I was actually surprisingly liked it more than I thought. And I think the more I listened to it, I ended up liking it more and more. I think mostly because this is probably more of personal taste. It reminds me of songs by artists like Rationale and S.G. Lewis. And I'm really like, they're artists I've been really into these past several years. So it kind of made me reminiscent of that. And that's not, I don't know how much you hear of that, like kind of synthy type sound in K-pop, but it stood out a bit to me. It kind of had like the rhythm was a bit New Jack swingy. Like if Cameo maybe did music today, it might sound like this.
Oh.
But yeah, and I thought the synths were mixed really well too in that. Mm. And also another note, which probably is a reason why I liked it too, is that it was actually co-written by Kenzie, who's actually mostly an SM entertainment writer. But she's consistently wrote a lot of songs in the past couple years that I've really liked. So it kind of made sense that this caught my ear.
I've been finding that I probably just need to listen to more songs written by Korean producers. But I've been finding a lot of the songs that I like have not been produced. They've been produced offshores. So like either America, London, or, you know, British producers. Yeah. So it's just like it's nice that we take a look at who is behind the music, because we can probably correlate a lot of our interests with that. And to the notion of who wrote the song, the producers of this song, of Believer, was LDN Noise, which is a British duo, and they've I haven't really heard much from them, but that's just me touching to the fact that this is not produced by somebody from Korea or JYP. And so I talked about it with Blackpink, and I think Luna also. I do appreciate any time they tap in outside outside help, just to give more of a fuller sound to the whole album itself, so it doesn't sound a lot like, you know, I Can't Stop Me, because, which, or I forget what song it is, but there's like that signature JYP French horn, just like loud blaring. I guess Blackpink has it too, but yeah, you can typically tell if it's a JYP produced song, or, you know, so I appreciate that. Okay, now my favorite part. Do we have any forgettable songs? Should I go first? Should I go back to what I said about Steven's song?
Oh, yeah.
Please.
Okay, I'll switch it up. After me, I'll go with you, Alamark. We'll end with you, Steven, because I'll be curious to know.
Okay.
So, Shot Clock, I wrote as my forgettable song. And the only reason why was because I initially was going to put it as my surprising song, but as I kept listening to it, I started realizing, like, I don't really like this song so much. And I think the only reason why was it sounded like it would belong in that scene in High School Musical where Zac Efron is telling all of his teammates to get Chahed in the game. And they're like dribbling and doing all that stuff. And so it was reminiscent of that song. And I think I couldn't shake that imagery out of my head. And then the more I kept listening to Shot Clock, it was very like instructional as far as like, again, I don't know if I'm just mixing up Get Chahed in the game to Shot Clock. Like, did they say phrases like hold the ball or I don't know, something. Anyway, that's the only reason why it's forgettable, is because again, going back to when I was listening to it recently, I was cooking and I also had to stop and go like, I don't want this. You were kind of saying that too, right? Like, it's surprising, but not like a memorable.
I don't I feel like I will skip this if it comes on, but it is. It was just a surprise to me with the sounds it went with.
All right, Alan Mark, what are you forgetting?
I am most likely forgetting Do What We Like.
Okay.
Yeah, for me, it sounds dated, even though a lot of these songs are like, you know, take a lot of influence from the past, like the 80s you mentioned, disco, New Jack Swing. But Do What We Like sort of takes back from only like 10 years ago. And I feel like if you do that, it feels like dated to me. The buildup especially, I think, was very like feels of like college times.
Back when we were in college.
Yeah. But it wasn't done in a way that felt fresh to me. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely a song I would skip. Though I do feel bad because Sana wrote these lyrics and Sana's just adorable. So I feel
that's
bad.
That's what I wrote. I wrote EDM Sana. That's all I wrote for these notes.
I had no notes for that because that was also one of my forgettable ones.
Okay. I think we saved the best for last. Steven.
Okay,
what do you have amnesia of?
There are two songs that I could choose from, and I'm going to go with the one that I think is going to be more controversial.
Yes, do it.
Do it.
My forgettable track is the last song on the album.
What?
And I
dare you
feel bad because the lyrics are by Haze.
Yeah, and
music by Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
So this, I had no other notes than the credits, and I don't know why. I guess, yeah, this one just didn't. Maybe it fell a little flat for me, but I put this as forgettable. I didn't write any notes for the other forgettable songs I had, so yeah, that was mine. And I welcome your comments.
We talked about how in episode 100 we'll all only have antis listening to our podcast. I think we have just cemented episode 3 as the episode where we only have antis. So
I'm the controversial.
That's a surprise to me, honestly. I thought I've been trying to be like the not really try to be, but I definitely have differencing opinions. So it's fun to hear you, Steven, as the controversial one. Before we leave Eyes Wide Open, do you guys have any other statements you want to make about it? I think overall it is a fantastic album. It's long. I mean, they're all pretty long, twice as albums, but I overall like the new storyline, the new direction they're taking with this group, the sign of maturity. And yeah, I think well, I mean, we can touch upon it real quick. If you go watch any current videos, you might notice there's only 8 members dancing. Good on them to actually take care of their members, because Chungyeon is currently inactive due to some personal issues. And so naturally, we are, as a group, sending all our love and support for full recovery. But I think just the fact that I don't want to use it as like a way to elude my to I don't want to use it as a way to tie in what I want to talk about, but I think we're seeing signs where they're not the perfect girl group. Like, they have things to go through, they have conflicts, troubling again, maybe this is just the direction that the JYP wants them to take, so I don't know, maybe a lot of this is fabricated. But I think whether or not it's fabricated, it's a very natural and smart, and it'll help for the testament of the group to really show that they're not the same. They can adapt and become better and more mature with their sound and lyrics. And yeah, I definitely applaud this album. whatever you guys want to say.
I'll go. But yeah, I mean, telling on just with the album, I mentioned the Twice's growth, the natural transition into this sort of style of music, more, I don't want to keep saying the word mature because it's not necessarily just mature, but it's just a, it's just them growing up and their music growing up with them. It's really good. I did really like this album, though I feel like it's not fair of me because I feel like ever since Feel Special, any Twice album that comes out after that, I'm going to compare to Feel Special because that mini album is no skips at all for me. So, yeah, I think I'll want more of that, but it's also not fair. It's like half as many songs. So it's obviously not going to like every song of this album. We've vaguely touched upon it, but yeah, this continues to make me really excited about what Twice has to offer in the future as well. You know, they're all like adults, living in this world, falling in love, all that stuff. So it's nice having the music reflect on that. And yeah, also I wanted to note is Behind the Mask, my only note of that song, is that a Pandemic song?
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
That's my only note. Ooh. Besides the writing, is that a Pandemic song? It's very of the time. But that's all I have to say about that.
I think you can claim it as a Pandemic song. I think that's okay.
Yeah, very literal.
Yeah. Well, but to Steven, it's forgettable. So.
Yeah, you just see me walking around mask.
Yeah, without a mask.
Huh? Okay. I guess. A lot of mine. I think I would echo a lot of what Alan Mark just said. I think this album is very cohesive in terms of the sound. And I think like they used a lot of more like electronic music in previous releases that weren't quite as evident here, or they went for I think more like retro sound, and I really liked that choice for this album. I'm also just really excited to see where they go, but I think that's still they're still gonna promote this. I would like to see what other like videos come out of this. I would be interested if they do anything with Queen. I would like to see choreo for this. And I'm happy that a lot of the members got like lyrics credits on this album. And again, I always love when members aren't really involved in the songwriting process too. So I thought this was great. Even just like the things I said earlier, I liked things, but just certain things weren't that great for me. But Twice, I think, is still kind of, they're at the top of their game still. And yeah, excited for what they do.
They kind of like reinvented themselves. Well, not really, but you know, they keep reinventing themselves. So they always seem fresh. Just real quick, just to go back to Behind the Mask again. Are you going to listen to that song thrice, Stephen? No.
I don't. As a thrice, yeah.
Oh, I love it. Okay. So, I'm just putting my app back on. Okay. Let me do the outro right now. All right. Looks like our fun is closing up soon. So, let's do one last call. Alan Mark, last call.
Thank you all. Thanks for listening to us. Hope if you made it this far into this episode, thank you. I love that this was our most the most divisive one so far. Yeah. So that's really fun. Thank you Twice for this album. Get well soon, Jonghyun. And I'm having really fun, a lot of fun doing this podcast, and I'm excited to do more of these. There's a lot of good music out there. It may not sound like it from us sometimes, you know, saying that there's some forgettable songs, but honestly, it's music. So you're going to come across that a lot. Yeah, maybe but it's I'm just excited to go over a lot
maybe
of
it's
things,
just ahead so. Of its time, and we'll come back and want to listen to it again.
We'll find out what it is behind that mask.
I'm gonna name that the name of this episode. Behind the Mask. Sing it? I don't know.
You'll wait like 50 minutes for the payoff when you start the episode.
Like, why is it called that? I thought we were listening to Eyes Wide Open. All right, Steven, last call.
Yeah, just thanks everyone for listening so far. Not that much else to say. Thank you. That's all. And get well soon, Jonghyun.
Awesome. To echo what Steven said, thank you everyone so much for listening. We are a small but proud production that is just happy to be able to share our love of K-pop. Please make sure to check out our other episodes and leave us any ratings or reviews on your favorite podcast platforms. You can follow us on all the socials at How You Can Eat. You can even email us howyoucaneat@gmail.com. It has been our pleasure being your leaders, and to the future generation, we know you are watching our every move. So long, stay safe, and see you next week.